love you, Father. We worship you, Father. Be glorified, God. Be magnified, Lord God. No one's like you. In all the heaven and all the earth, who can compare to you, Majesty? Who can compare to your beauty, Father? It's a pleasure for me to be with you here this morning, and we've just had a great service in the Afrikaans service, and I'm really trusting God to do a new fresh thing as we have this English service, and to even surpass the previous service and this weekend's glory that we had the privilege of tasting fresh manna out of His throne room. So we worship and glorify God. This morning I want to share with you about our hearts, regarding our hearts. And I want to start off by sharing a testimony of a guy that is a heavy metal band singer. How many of you have heard of the band called Korn? All right. You've repented, hey, since then. Okay. But it's an extremely extreme heavy metal band that sings and promotes every licentious, you know that word, licentious thing. It promotes drug addiction, encourages young people to do drugs, encourages them to be promiscuous and to do everything that we know as being extremely wrong and destructive to ourselves. Now this leader, Brian Welsh, was the lead singer and the leader of this band. And his wife had deserted him and his daughter. Both him and his daughter are drug addicts, and they were using constantly drugs in front of these little 4 or 5 year old daughter, and at one stage his wife deserted him and the child, and he didn't know where she'd gone to, and he was very upset that she's left him and to bring up this child on his own. And but one day he heard his child sing one of his song lyrics And that really upset him. It really confronted him, because the lyric was about using drugs, doing drugs, and the pleasure of that. And the lyric was about sleeping around and that, and addictions, and it was embracing everything that is so destructive. And he was shocked that his child was singing the song that he is the lead singer of. And it confronted him, and he realized, but I cannot permit my child to sing the song. The song, look what drugs is busy doing to me. He realized the fruit of his life is destruction. I mean, he's a multimillionaire, but that means nothing when his wife has left him and he has no joy, no peace, no pleasure. Real, deep, godly satisfaction. He has none of that. And he sees his child seeing this and he realizes this cannot carry on. He'll have to change his lifestyle. So he mentioned it to a partner that was helping him invest in property. And the partner, estate agent or somebody involved in property, said he knew was a Christian. But this guy said, well, if you're really worried about this, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So go to Jesus. And he thought to himself, you know what? Interesting scripture. And he spoke to the Lord and said, if you're real, you know, show yourself to me. But he wasn't believing really in God, never grew up as a Christian, knew nothing of Christ. But he had sleepless nights, and he would try to quell the concern in his heart by taking more drugs, but it didn't work. He would have nightmares of his child busy adopting his lifestyle, and really was bothering him massively. And so at one stage, he spoke again to this partner of him, the real estate partner, and the guy said, come with us to church. And he said, okay, I'll go. And he went to church, and he got radically saved, wept before the Lord, went back home, took drugs again, and then heard the audible voice of God saying, what are you busy doing? You're mine now. I will satisfy you. I will help you. I will change you. And I love you. And left drugs, was instantly set free, resigned as the band leader, withdrew from all the activities. They had a tour that was going to happen. He stopped. He just crashed their whole system. And he started bringing up his child in the ways of God. And today, they radically saved. He shares his testimony on YouTube. You can just type in Brian Welsh and hear his testimony. And he has tattoos right up to his head. He's covered with tattoos. And it shows you, you know, the fruit of his previous life. And a young person, just by the way, this is not part of the topic, a young person said to me, but why can't we have a Christian tattoo? And I know there's a testament in the old scripture in the Old Testament that says have no markings. And I know we have the argument, you're a temple of God, all that stuff. But somebody gave me a beautiful answer to that. You are God's Ferrari. You are God's best produced product. Do you put a sticker on a Ferrari? Does that make sense? No, you don't. So don't do tattoos. If you have them already, it's fine. The grace of God, it's all right. But if you're pondering that, it just doesn't fit. You're beautifully, wonderfully made by the grace of God. You're a Ferrari. Leave the tattoos. Okay. So he realized that he was going to spoil his daughter's future. And it drove him to Jesus. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what has spoilt you and me, if we are spoilt? Because there are things we were exposed to as children, by our parents, by society, by media, that has robbed us of our childlikeness and made us so-called adults. Many of us have become sophisticated. We become aware of things. We've become aware of position and status, material things. Opinion of others has become so important to many of us. Matthew 18, verse 6 to 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Matthew 18 speaks of where Christ says, our spiritual walk can directly be compared, and our health in our spiritual walk, our growth in our spiritual walk, our receiving, ability to receive revelation, input, our ability to be Christ-like depends on one key point, to be like a child. So we have amazing keys to open up doors to discover how to get God's fullness, God's kingdom to be part of us and for us to live out His touch, His love, His glory, His blessing, His kingdom, to live it out. The key is to become like a child. So he uses a practical situation, Christ does. He says, he is a child. If you want to inherit the kingdom of God, become like this child. And we're gonna look to this morning or this afternoon at what epitomizes a child. What are the characteristics of a child that we have to return to? Because each one of you was a child. Do you still believe that, the older folks? Can you still remember the childlike days and how you see and interpret and perceive things? God says, return to that. Become like that again. Then I will open up the treasure closets of my kingdom to you. I'd like to ask you to listen to this next four verses. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So there's another powerful key there. You cannot become childlike unless you become humble. Humility is one of the massive keys that opens up inheriting the kingdom of God, becoming like a child. We need to descend to greatness. We need to depreciate. Less of me and more of Him. Less of me and much, much more of Him in and through me. Let's go look at different angles regarding becoming like a child. The first angle we're going to discuss this, it's still morning. This morning is becoming a child in your essence. What's the essence of a child? The second one is becoming childlike in your actions. The third is becoming childlike in your relationship with God, in your interaction between you and God. All right, let me ask you a question. What typifies a child to you? One word. I want to ask you, any word that comes, when you think of a child between the ages of 0 to 5 or 6, what characteristic that you can explain in or say in one word comes to your mind right now? Trust. Dependent. Honesty. Obedience. Spontaneous. Trust. Sorry? Joy. Soft. Gentle. Innocence. We're describing childlike, yes. What is childlike? It's that. These things that Christ says we must return to that. To enter in and have the kingdom live in and through our very beings. That's our challenge this morning to one another. Every time I minister this, I'm challenged to my very core. Because I've lost some of this. And I dare to say many of us have lost some of our childlikeness. We all want to inherit the kingdom of God. We all want to live it and portray it. Am I right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. Let's return to become children. Okay. So a child's essence is characterized by innocence, purity, blatant honesty. Have you been confronted by the blatant honesty of a child? It's like it forces you to notice something that you've never really considered, or you haven't at this stage considered this truth that the child is saying. Or you choose to push it out your mind, you choose to ignore it, you choose not to acknowledge this blatant honesty the child has just said. And it confronts you. You have one of two options. You have an option, do I enjoy it and do I learn from it, or do I become irritated by that? I've done both. I've enjoyed some honesty of some children, and some honesty of some children has really put me off, allowed me, or I've become irritated by this blatant honesty of this child. Do I appreciate it or do I not appreciate it? Christ says, become, aspire to be like a child. In innocence, your very core, return to innocence. Your very core, return to purity. Become so childlike that when you make a statement like a child, people are confronted with truth that is uncomfortable. Truth that they choose to ignore. Truth that they choose not to see. Truth that they choose rather to push out of their minds. And rather live in denial regarding. We Christians are called to confront ourselves, our brothers and sisters, and the world with childlike honesty. And Christ says, return to that innocence, that godly presence shining through you. When a child says something that is so truthful, it confronts the lies that we've decided to believe, the denial we've chosen to live under or to live with. Charles Finney is a great evangelist, great minister of God's word, great teacher of God's word, would get onto trains and buses. And he lived in the 19th century. And there are amazing books about his life. And he would get on a train, on a locomotive, or on one of the train has a locomotive and it has carriages. He'd get onto the carriage and he'd say nothing. Often he'd preach and they'd do an altar call and many would get saved. But often he'd just get on and say nothing. And then people would start coming and they'd start weeping bitterly by him. And then they'd say, sir, we don't know why, but we feel so convicted of our lostness. We are so desperate to be saved from our problems and our sins. And we just know you have the answer. We don't know why, but would you lead us to Christ? So his presence, he carried the presence of childlike innocence, childlike anointing. The beauty that God has for each one of us was upon him, and that drew people to Christ. In his essence, he believed like a child. He trusted like a child. He was innocent like a child. And it bore massive fruit without even him having to say one word. The second thing about a child is, how can we learn from children's actions? And one of the most telltale thing of a child's actions is the words children speak. I'd like to ask you, what characterizes the words of children? What kind of words do they speak? Anyone? Honesty. Truth. Do they mean to stab or injure with their words? Do they have any motive to hurt? When they get to an older age, yes, but when they're young, no. It's pure. It's a pure heart. There's no cruelty intended in their words. There's no ugliness. They come across as rude, but they don't mean to be rude. There's no intention in being rude, but it's rude to us because it confronts our facade, our having lost touch with truth and reality, our living in denial in many aspects. It confronts it and then becomes rude to us. But is it rude? Or is it being truthful? Is it being honest? Is it being childlike? Is it being the place where Christ says, return to that. Return to being a child. We as adults often use words that hurt, that are meant to malign or cause offense. A child often uses words, and these words are inappropriate in our opinion. Have you had a child say something and you think, oh my goodness, how can the child say that? It's not right now to say that. It confronts me. This amazing story we watched of these two families. And the one family, the father is a workaholic. He works day and night. His wife never sees him. His children never sees him. He's got three children. And eldest is a boy. He's a teenager. Second eldest is a teenage girl. And a little girl, 5, 6 years old. And how they rushing in the snowstorm somewhere in the States, because he's built them this amazing log cabin, a 5-bedroomed log cabin with all the bells and whistles, and he wants to show them, but his wife is not really interested because he's a non-resident father, non-resident husband. They're always fighting on the trip in the car. They're fighting, him and his wife and the kids. The eldest son is gunning his teenage sister and teasing her and downing her, and she's downing, and there's no peace in this family. And they have to reach their house within an hour because a storm is going to be unleashed in its worst state if they don't reach the house on time. And they just arrive and the trees are being blown over with this terrible snowstorm. And they show you scenes in the house where this family really is at loggerheads with one another. And then a while later, they hear a knock on the door, and there's another family that are seeking shelter. They're in their vehicle. They've been traveling. And they're far from their distance. The storm has caught them off guard. They need to get shelter. And they say, can we just be with you? I mean, we got nowhere else to go. We're far from our destination. And the people say, yeah, come in. You can. And they sleep over. But the difference between these two families is this family that consists of a teenage boy, teenage daughter, father and mother, speak kindly and lovingly to one another. They care for one another, and the wife cuddles her husband, and she respects him, and the husband respects his wife, and the teenage boy speaks sweetly to his sister, and the sister speaks kindly to her brother, and it's a total contrast to the family whose home they're in. And at one stage, they have to sleep over because a storm doesn't subside, and it's Christmas Eve, and this family that have seek shelter with them said, can we do our Christmas tradition? They said, yes, we can, after the meal. And the tradition is they have a candle and they pass the candle from one person to the next. And the person that receives the candle must say thanks for one thing. They must make a statement of gratitude. And as this candle comes to this 5, 6-year-old girl, she makes the following statement. She says, I'm so thankful that you can show us how to love one another, because we struggle with that. We don't do it. Is that an appropriate statement? From an adult point of view, no. But from a godly point of view, yes. Does she mean to dig? She's just being truthful and honest and pure. And God says, if you want to inherit my kingdom, return to that. Return to that purity. Return to that honesty. Return to that humility. Let's look at another. So we're talking about the words of a child, becoming childlike in our words. Let's look at the next aspect. And I'm going to depict this aspect by drawing a picture. Have you watched children on a playground? The one boy comes down the slide, and there's another little boy standing with his hand on the slide. They don't notice each other. Next minute, that boy,
slides over his hand. He hurts his hand and he turns and slaps him because he's hurt his hand. Nobody intended to hurt one another, and they have a wrestling match on the ground. They're fighting and they're crying and they're screaming. After a while, they stop and they walk away and they play. And 3 minutes later, they're playing with each other again as if nothing happened. Have you seen that? They've forgotten about what happened. It's no issue, not a problem. And the principle we learn there about being like a child is they give forgiveness without holding back. Unconditional forgiveness they give. Do they apologize to one another? The only place I see a child having to apologize when an adult says, say sorry. It doesn't come naturally to say sorry. And not that saying sorry is wrong, it's biblical. Bible says if you have an offense with a brother, go sort it out and apologize. And if you know, sort it. But it does say first and foremost, forgive one another 7 times 70. Give forgiveness. So those children give each other forgiveness without holding back. They become, we have to become like that in giving forgiveness on the playground, because this is God's playground. With all love and respect, I see the world as God's creche. We are His children. He's given us ground, food, everything we need. But on this earth, on this globe, God gives us opportunity to form our characters and to be forming agents in one another's lives regarding our characters. We are sandpaper to one another. Some of us are rocks on rock. God's developing, growing us. He's given us everything we need on this earth to sustain us, to live. He's with us in His Spirit. He guides and blesses us, but He uses each other to grow each other up like a creche. Don't you think giving forgiveness unconditionally is so needed in the family of God? Don't you think it's so needed that the world sees we give forgiveness? That we become a child, we don't bear grudge. We don't allow bitter roots to grow in our hearts, because children don't have bitter roots. They're not resentful. They just let go and let live and let God. To turn the other cheek needs to be second nature. Because it's second nature to a child. A child turns the other cheek without even thinking. And this story about the playground reminds me of a scene we experienced in Cyprus. My wife and I were missionaries in North Africa, Middle East, and we lived in Cyprus. And we sat at this coffee shop on this busy street in the capital city. And the next moment, two Greek men, or Cypriot men, which are Greeks, bumped one another with their vehicles. And they jump out the car, and their faces are literally millimeters away from each other. And they are shouting and screaming and pointing with their hands. And they're not touching, they're not grabbing hold of each other, but they are going at it. Very upset. The one blaming the other. And the next minute, the cars that have now been hindered from driving because they've blocked the road, the cars behind this one guy that crashed into the other guy, those drivers get out their cars and they fight with the guy that's in front of them. They are backing him against the other guy. And then this guy and the cars behind him get out of their cars and they start fighting with him and the other drivers. And like, it's this big chaos going on. Yeah, they are fighting with one another, upset. And then after, we don't understand a word they're saying. They're all speaking in Greek. And the next moment, their voices start calming down. And then after a while, you see them put their hands out. And then obviously, some of the other drivers came alongside the guys behind him, and they started negotiating. And these guys, it's like a whole family business there. It's like they know each other. And then their voices start becoming a softer tone, and they put out each other's, they put out their hands, and they shake, and then they hug. Get back in their cars and drive off. Childlike, as if nothing's happened. Forgive each other. Let go of the offense. Give forgiveness. Realize we both are wrong. We both are right. the love and forgiveness that God affords me, God expects me to afford others. Okay, so we've discussed words. We've discussed giving forgiveness in our actions. The next thing is emotions. What portrays the emotions of a child? What typifies the emotions of a child? Does a child withhold his tears, his anger, his disappointment, his joy, his pleasure? No. They live it on their sleeves. They just go for it. They cry when they're upset. We had such a beautiful scene earlier on. I mean, if you saw Mark's little it was a boy, hey? Mark's little boy just came, and he was not aware that you're all sitting here. He did not care that you were looking at him. How many of you will get up now and start taking things out of this pulpit without becoming self-conscious? Will you do it? Why? We've lost our childlike innocence. And you know what? Each one of you have it in you. Do you know that some of you older folks, you were children? Do you know that? You were a child. God says, now return to that. Go and remember. And you know, every newborn child is the grace of God extended to remind you of who He wants you to be like. Every grandchild, every friend's child, every church family's child born to us is saying, God saying, become like that. Return to that. Change, throw off the baggage of bad experiences, of wrong input. Throw it off. Become, return to what I intend you to be so that I can reveal to you the treasures of my kingdom, so that you can be in a more intimate, close relationship with me, my child. So a child fights quickly, they make peace quickly, they don't bear grudges, tears flow easily, they don't have cooped up emotions. Does a child have masks when it comes to their emotions? Do they have masks? Do they put up a front? No, they don't. Do you have a mask? I'm standing here with a mask. You're sitting with a mask. And God uses children's uncalled statements to challenge you to get rid of that mask and to become childlike again. Who wants the kingdom of God? Who wants the fullness of the Lord? Who wants it? What do you need to do? Become a child again. Become a child. Get rid of that mask. Be, and I'm not saying lose self-control. No. But I think if we have to look at a pendulum, we are right on this side with holding everything inside and not releasing the emotions and things that we have to say, with the innocence that God expects us to say it with, and the pureness of heart. I think the pendulum's there. It needs to come a bit more to the middle, and maybe go past the middle, that we don't go back that way again. What lack of self-control means to us, or what we perceive as lack of self-control, I can assure you, is not in God's books, lack of self-control. Otherwise, He wouldn't say, become like a child. When a child throws a total emotional tantrum and we think, how dare that child do that? They really grieved in their little hearts. I mean, this morning, Mark's child started crying uncontrollably because he couldn't stand with his daddy there. He was standing and he wants to go to his, and his mom has to pull him because he'll disturb daddy's worship. Was that losing self-control? Some of us might say, it's not. It's not. It's being childlike. Not allowing that to be cooped up, to bear a bitter grudge. Child lives a life of hunky-doriness. They're truthful about their emotions. A warning sign happens when many of us prefer our masks and choose to live artificial plastic veneer lives instead of being in contact with our true emotions and identifying them and bringing them before God in a total dependence. Somebody said, a child is dependent, in total dependence. Say, Lord, I sit with this. If you choose the mask and you want to live a masked life, you stand the danger of self-destructing. Where do you think schizophrenia and a lot of this stuff comes from? So people are just unable, not permitted because of society structures to live who God wants them to be. To allow the innocence. A lot of it is demonic, yes. A lot of it is chemical. But I think a lot of soul, not I think, I know, research has put a lot of physical ailments, emotional, psychological ailments are rooted in the way we grow up, that way we've been exposed to certain things that causes major damage. We must return to be in contact with what we feel and feel free to express it without a dig, without a stab, without malice, just bearing your heart lovingly, like we spoke of this at the marriage prep, how to deal with conflict. Share your emotions without pointing a finger, without aiming. As one friend of mine has a teenage boy, and he shared with me, his boy just started becoming very critical, analytical, and cynical about situations and people, and his boy started talking about that person on the street and that guy, and he had to stop his son. He said, whoa, you know, when you were a child, you accepted everyone. You didn't notice the differences. It didn't matter that so-and-so had a big nose and so-and-so walked funny. It didn't matter to you. Accepted and allowed anyone in your circle. If they gave you love, you responded to them. Why have you allowed yourself to lose your innocence, my child? And he had to speak to his teenager and say, you need to stop with that, my boy. Return back to what I intended you to be like, to resemble. Revisit your childlike days, my boy. Don't be like your dad and help your dad to return to that. So, folks, in our actions, let's return to be childlike. Last one is being childlike in our relationship with God. And this is the most exciting for me in the message, in what the Lord is showing to us. A child expects all, trusts all, believes all that God says. That's being childlike in your relationship with God. Expecting all, trusting all, believing all. The question is, do we expect all, trust all, believe all of God and what He wants to do for us? Or have we wavered in our faith? Have we been shaken? Have we lost our childlike faith? That overused term that we seldomly or a very long time ago have stood still by and pondered. What does it mean to have childlike faith? To expect all, believe all, trust all from God. We need to apply this in our relationship with God as a child that just believes all, trusts all, expects all from his daddy and his mommy. When I was a missionary, we would have Sunday meals. We could invite anyone, and they would have a buffet. And I just met this new couple with a newborn baby at the church that I was attending, and I invited them to have a meal with me. I was single. I'd not met Nordine yet. And my job at the mission base was to do mission research. So I would collect these amazing testimonies. And as this couple was sitting, they asked me about my job. And I was telling them about this story of a Vietnamese that went to this one village to share Jesus Christ. And the villagers, Buddhist, Shinto, they did not appreciate the message. And they beat him to a pulp. They beat him so severely that he could not see through his eyes. And they fastened rocks onto his body, and they threw him into the deep side of the river so that he can drown and die. But while he's sinking in the river, he sees this yellow light and he starts breathing underwater. And he washes out on the river bank. And he breaks off the rope with the rocks, and guess what? He walks right back to the village that he shared the gospel with, not fearing for his life. When they see him, they think he's a ghost, and they just cannot, they don't know how to deal with this, what they're seeing. The guy should be dead. Who's he? What is he? A ghost? Is he a spirit? And he shares the gospel again with them, and the whole village turns to Christ. Now, while I'm sharing, did I lose any of your attention while I was saying this? Whose attention was not on the story? Anyone? Be honest, please. Okay, I lost your attention. It's fine. But the rest, you were all listening to the story. I had you. And I was sharing the story with this couple. And while I'm sharing the story with this couple, while I'm sharing that there's a yellow light underwater, the guy can breathe, the baby starts crying. And it's like I'm talking into the air. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. The Third World War can happen. That child has their undivided attention. And at that stage, I was saying to God, God, you say I must love you. I appreciate you. I'm very thankful towards you. But can I truly say I love you? How do I love God? I mean, I know I must, but I mean, how does that work? And then what does your love mean? I mean, show me your love. So I must love you and you love me, but give me handles on your love, both ways. Have any of you asked that question? Wondered? And I was praying that, and as this couple, I lost their attention and they focused on the child. The next minute God says to me, that's me and you. As that child has the undivided attention, care, love of its parents, so too you have my attention. You have my care. I'm looking to you. I'm loving you. You have all of my focus, says the Lord. And as that child is totally dependent on those parents, you must know you can be dependent on me. You must know you have my attention as that child has the parents' attention. And that must be the essence of your relationship with me. Is from a place of you, my all, God. You are my all-sufficient one. You are the supplier of all my need in its totality. I was speaking in the air. I was sharing this powerful testimony, and I lost their attention. Gone. Poof. Because a child was crying. Speaking to another lady, and she was with us in the two previous congregations in Kempton Park, and she does the divorce recovery course. She did it for many years there. And she came out of a divorce, got remarried to a very nice guy, and he was like a father figure to her son and daughter. And the son and daughter were exposed to the gospel, to amazing things in that church. But they both have turned atheists. And she mentioned to me, she was speaking to either the son and daughter and said, but how did this, where did this start? And the child said, obviously now already studying at varsity, said, you know what, Mom, I asked God for something and he never did it. And I stopped believing that he exists. And that brings me to the next thing of being childlike. God may say no. When you say no to the child will try to take chances. But I mean, when the child sees a no is a no, do they accept it? They listen to it, they accept it, they obey it. They'll take a chance, but they accept a no. And they don't doubt you still love them. They'll say no and then come and sit on your lap. You'll say no and it's over. Gone. Not an issue anymore. And unfortunately, many of us have fallen into the trap of thinking, but God is there for my pleasure, for my use. The opposite is the truth. We are there for God's pleasure. We are there for God's use. We are there for God's benefit, not Him for us. Yes, we have His attention. Yes, He loves us dearly. But we're there for His purposes, not Him for our purposes. And some of us, not saying here, but some people in the body of Christ have gotten that wrong. And I dare to say that I personally believe the majority of atheists, if not all of them, actually believe in God, but they're angry, they're offended with God. So they choose to get back at Him by saying He doesn't exist. It's just unforgiveness towards God, which I believe is the case in this young person's life
who's the child of this lady we know.
So that's the third thing, is God may say no. God expects us to believe him implicitly. The next aspect we find in the following story, and that is a friend or a student I spoke to shared with me that he remembers as being a child, if he would lose sight of his mom, he'd become totally traumatized. He'd become anxious because he can't see his mom anymore. And he'd look around, start crying uncontrollably because he has a desperate need to stay close to mommy or to daddy. Do we have a desperate need to stay close to God? Are you and I traumatized if we go into one day without having quiet time? That child needed to see his parent, be close to his parent all the time. If he or she is not close, or he, in this case it's he, if he wasn't close, he'd be totally traumatized. And he still remembers at the age of 23 years old. The trauma experienced by losing sight of his mom in a shopping mall. And if we've lost that hunger and need and desperate need for God, we need to say, God, I've lost my childlikeness in my need to be close to you. In my need to be dependent on you. In my realization, we need desperately need him, but often we lose sight of the fact that we need him. We've lived lives or allow masks to block our hunger and thirst after righteousness. That child knows that its total dependence, its total nurturing comes from the Lord. And is totally reliant on the Lord. Wandering off is not an option. It needs to find a child. Its whole little world falls apart when it can't see its parent. It needs to keep a close eye on that parent. Because its sustenance comes from that parent. The Lord wants us to be besotted about him as a child is besotted and needful of a parent. Dependent on a parent. Cannot afford to miss the parent. Wants to be with the parent all the time. Needs closeness. To have the kingdom of God, we need to revert to become like children. A very key aspect of a child's relationship with its parents is a child needs to be close to its daddy and mommy. Are you and I close to our daddy? Are we traumatized when we've not spent a day with the Lord? Like a child is traumatized for missing a parent for a few minutes in a large room. Where's my daddy? Where's my mom? And if we're not traumatized, we say, Lord, I need to become like a child again. I need to go visit that place. I was there, but I've lost it. Next aspect in our relationship with God is, it's called, the word is sponge. Have you seen how a young man, when you see him and his father, you see the dad's walk in the boy, the body language. Have you noticed that? How the young man approaches certain things, does certain things, and you notice the father in the young man, or even sometimes the mother. Monkey see, monkey do. We all monkeys. I'm the first one. You see something, you copy it. But the thing is, when a child is born, it's an empty hard drive, in computer terms. The child has got nothing. It comes in, and it's pure, it's innocent, it's receiving. But everything it learns from who? The parents, society, family around it. When you get reborn, or when you want to become like a child, as a child of God, return to be childlike, you need to be like a sponge of everything that God wants to give you. To drink up everything. You need to say, Lord, you need to unclutter me. You need to clean my hard drive. You need to remove your sponge from the muddy, murky water of a river and place it in the fresh fountain of the Most High God. The fresh stream that comes from the throne room of God. Go and place yourself in that stream and soak up what the Lord has for you. Children are little computers. They drink everything. They absorb everything they see. Think of a child's starting to walk. Somebody said this morning, a child wants to start walking at the age of 10 months. That child has seen its parents, its brothers, its sisters, its uncles and aunts, people on the street walk. Until then, that child just crawls. Some of them just pull themselves. They don't crawl. Has learned to crawl, but hasn't learned to walk. In that child's attempt to start walking is the thought of, I cannot do it, in their mind, their frame of mind. Do they think, I can't do it? Do they think, oh, I'm going to fail? Do they think, this is not possible? Whatever it takes, their child will carry on trying to walk until they walk. Now, how do we apply that to us in becoming childlike? Have you seen a child with a cleft foot or feet that are inwards? Have you seen them try to walk before they get an operation to get the feet straight again? They fall over their feet. Does that stop them from trying? They carry on until they walk. Now, becoming a childlike in your relationship with God is you believe that the impossible, nothing is impossible in Christ. Failure is not part of your frame of mind. It's not possible. It's not part of your frame of mind. I can't do it. It's not part of your frame of mind if you want to be like a child. Because that child that wants to walk will do whatever it takes to walk. And they do walk with massive obstacles. They don't even think the obstacle as being discouraging. They just carry on, press on until they get it right. So we want to be like children. We want to become, we want to inherit the kingdom of God, live out the kingdom of God. Say, Lord, let me have the mind of a child in my relationship with you. Let me believe all, trust all, expect all. The thought of this cannot, will not, it will not, that not even cross my mind. I push that out. It is cancer in my mind and my heart. I will not allow it. A child wants to learn. A child absorbs and drinks everything up from its parent. In our relationship with God, we must want to learn and drink everything up, never giving up. Wanting to only learn from Him, copy Christ, follow Christ, honor Christ, worship Christ. To inherit His kingdom. I'd like you all to close your eyes just so we can focus on the Lord right now. Who of you this morning feel, but Lord, I have to return to be like a child? I've lost that. I've lost some of it. If you feel that and you're physically able, as a prophetic action, go on your knees right now. I need to return to be childlike. You feel in your heart, whatever it takes, as a prophetic action, go back on your knees. And now pour out your heart to the Lord. Say to God, God, help me. Save me from the pollution. Save me from my sophistication. Save me from every blockage that hinders me from becoming a child again. Speak to me even more truths that I heard this morning. Arrest me, Lord, as I'm about to accept denial, as I'm about to allow another mask. I want to be childlike, Jesus, in my faith. Talk to God right here, right now.
Thank you, Father, that you are good and gracious. And Lord, thank you, Father, that in the weeks, the months, the years following today, you're going to change us from glory to glory. You're going to lead us by the hand to return to be like children again. And everything we think and say and do in our approach, because we desperately, desperately hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Thank you, Father. Your grace is sufficient. The last point in becoming like a child is freedom. Freedom to be joyful. Freedom in your approach, in your feelings. Freedom, we've spoken about feelings, but just absolute freedom to dance, to be free, to express. And we're gonna sing a song now that's a prophetic action of us saying we want to become like children. The song says, the river of God sets my feet to dancing. Who of you want to become so childlike that you want to move those legs this morning? As a prophetic action. As something that you're saying, I am going to put action to my confession. Who of you is willing to move your legs? Dance before the Lord this morning. All right. And even though you do it slowly, you do it. And I'm going to ask the guys to move this pulpit away here. And I ask you to come, and you can dance in your chair, but I want some of you to come to the front. Can any, just two people, move this away? As we sing this song, let's stand up. Forget, like that child, like Mark's child, picked up his balls and was totally unaware of the people watching it. Forget about the person next to you and choose to be free before the Lord. Let's stand and come join me in the front as we dance before the Lord.